Yeah, I like to put things on our regular meeting agenda, and then if we don't get to, if we need a work session, we can identify that, you know, because it would be super efficient as well.
Super efficient is the name of the game. Yes.
And with that?
With that, let's start this meeting. I now, are you ready for me to start this, Nathan? I now call our regular meeting of San Juan County Public Health District Number 1 Board of Commissioners meeting. It's Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. It is no longer 1:30, the agenda says it's 5:30. And we are at Frank Wilson Memorial. We had our board training. We had recess. Thank you for dinner, Pam. Next on the agenda is approving our agenda.
Do you have your chair's agenda?
I do.
There's a few special items
that
we addressed.
let's see. Oh, right. So we, in the interest of making this meeting quicker, because we've already been here a really long time, Pam didn't get her numbers back from the county straight away, so we're bypassing that this month. We'll do 2 months of review at the next meeting. So we need to amend the consent agenda to remove the warrant approval for the PhD. So if I could, I'd be happy to entertain a motion.
So moved that we remove the SJC PhD number 1 warrant approval from the consent agenda. We're continuing that to the next meeting?
Yes.
Just spending that to the next meeting.
We'll just do 2 months instead of the one.
Sounds good.
Can I second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. And then does that, everybody else, we're okay with the agendas further? Consent agenda, we need to approve.
Actually, on the agenda approval, I was going to move that we suspend our audience participation in the middle of meetings and move it to the beginning
Yes. And
a session at the end of the meetings. Mm-hmm. It looks a little less necessary, but I'm
not
going to give that
I
do move that we do that, though, and that we start to set that trend.
Now, Nathan, we weren't allowed to really change the format of our meeting until this meeting on the right. Is that correct? And
because
it's our first regular, and it's an action item, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different things going on here. One is the order of the agenda is set by your bylaws.
Right.
So for a permanent change, you'd have to change those. And then the other thing that's going on is you're changing the order of the current agenda. Mm-hmm. So, maybe you make a motion for the next 3 months or something like that. Put like a finite time on it. And I don't see any issue with saying, let's change the audience participation for the next 3 months.
That's fine, but we also probably, because there is a true interest in changing our bylaws to really be more inclusive and have more public audience participation, that's something mm-hmm. we need to address at an upcoming meeting, I think.
So you're saying the beginning and then at the end?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's best.
I think that's a nice thing to do.
Me too. Okay.
And keeping the limits.
So basically for today, I moved to suspend the bylaws to the extent that they require the audience participation in the middle of our meeting so that we can have it at the beginning and the session at the end.
Perfect. I second that.
So, and are you going to put a time frame on that?
And sure. And for the next, through March.
Through March, okay.
You'll come to
that? Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Thank you. So I guess now we would offer it up to public comment.
So now you got to
chime in.
Sorry. You go ahead.
Here's your chance.
I know. We each have 3 minutes, which is a lot of time.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to get out of here earlier.
Yeah.
So Nathan,
Nathan's like policy. What's our
not to be like annoying and a stick in the mud.
No, we need you to be that.
You need to pass the amended agenda, and then you need to pass the amended consent agenda. Okay. So you amended this agenda, right?
Right, and we passed.
So
that.
Pass that.
Uh-huh.
You only passed an amendment. You haven't passed the amended agenda, and then you got to pass the consent agenda as amended, which is without the PhD warrants.
Got it.
I know.
No, it's fine.
It's annoying.
Do I hear a motion?
I don't mean to be.
Motion to pass the consent agenda and the. Or you just have to do one at a time.
I suppose you can do both.
Okay. We're doing them together?
You actually can do them together if you want.
Does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Nathan.
We actually used to have the agenda approval in the consent agenda.
Right.
So there's no reason you can't do them together.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
No, that's great.
No,
thank
don't
you.
Apologize.
No, that's fine. Thank you
and,
very much.
And we need to go through and approve the regular meeting minutes, December 18.
I move to approve. I should, since that's part of the consent agenda, I'm sorry, we're just mulling around. But
yeah,
don't you just approve the items on the consent agenda as one item usually? That's typically how a consent agenda works.
I thought you guys just passed it. Yeah.
Oh, we did.
I think we did.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think we're all set.
So you don't have to do the
minutes. But that's a great point. Maybe next time remind us that when we're approving that, we're actually approving the meeting.
We're doing all of it.
You are.
And the warrants.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And as we said, Pam doesn't have warrants and no special.
Yes, the county is messed up. At least on mine. Carl's, so.
In-house.
And you, and anything you'd like to share with us beyond that?
Just that I was able to look at our year-end figures, and our budget did come in under, pretty well under in expenses and over in revenues, so our budget looks good for 2019, and then I'll get a more detailed and correct listing when the county closes the 13th month, because the revenue figures didn't include it, the expense didn't, and as I was trying to get that, I was like, I was confusing myself, so I did not want to confuse you guys just starting out, so it'll just be clear to do it next month.
Thank you. Okay, Carl.
Well, great. Thank you very much for my time here. I have provided you both a monthly report for the month of December and then tried to summarize that again in a year-end report.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you all have those. You've had a chance to take a look at them. Something that interesting that I'm realizing now, the financials that were included in the monthly report more than likely will be amended as well, because there's something that was brought to our attention in that we changed our payroll period in the middle of the year to try to, because we were dealing with monthly, then it got paid like the 7th of the following month, and then we brought it more into alignment to be paid at the end of the month, which is going to necessitate a 13-month of payroll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these numbers will probably be amended for you right now. These were what we had at the time for the expenses, but really what we found out, and you can see that in the financial review, is that our revenues basically were spot on once we amended the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We came out just basically 100% of that. Our expenses are 93% of the amended budget, so we seem to be on track with that as well. There are certain things that will probably be amended. The payroll is going to be one of those. I know that Commissioner Loring had asked about the chief's salary, and it shows it like a 150%, and that's because Chief Martin's severance was originally lined as a separate line item, but because of a glitch in how that was paid and processed,
mm-hmm.
it showed up under the old category of the chief's salary. So you'll see that the severance line is zero, whereas the chief's line is 150%. And that's the reason behind that. You also asked me a question about insurance. And I can tell you cursory that insurance shows up in several different, there's a administrative insurance portion, an operations insurance portion, and I think there are some discrepancies in terms of where it was coded, but the overall should come out on track. I can get you specifics for next month, just to make sure that question's answered for you.
If it's an easy one, that would be great. I had just noticed that the vehicle insurance was quite a bit more than it had been allotted, you know, 24,000.
We also found
just
out.
One of the weird things, you know, I looked for numbers that seemed far.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's one of those things too. I realized through a portion of the year we had surplused an ambulance went over to Shaw Island when the new one came online, and our insurance policy was still carrying the old ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
So found that, fixed that. They were able to reimburse a certain amount, but there was some that we just kind of had to say, oops. Our bad, we missed that. Won't happen again. I'll know what to be looking for. Just to kind of let you know, you can see what we had for the runs, 1,184 for the year, seeing 1,200 patients. The reason that you get a difference is because often one run will include multiple patients. Mm-hmm. So like one car wreck counts as a run, but there are three patients in the vehicle, so those numbers offset and they change a little bit. And again, our response times, well within the 20-minute suburban benchmark on an overall average, and then they're broken down to different areas of the island. Town's looking pretty good. I think we're averaging that 8 minutes and 37 seconds. In town, it ends up being 7:48, which is really the standard for getting aid there is 8 minutes. The standard for getting an ambulance there is 10 minutes, and so we're meeting that pretty regularly. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. Again, basically just kind of the highlights there. The community outreach that we do provided you some statistics with that. Over 700 people were serviced here on the island, taught first aid, taught CPR, which is really pretty remarkable.
It's like 10% of our population.
And the interesting thing, too, is that according to Director Volt, that because it's a two-year cycle, we tend to have years that our years alternate in terms of a heavy year versus a light year. This was a light year. We should be seeing more next year.
Cool.
Yeah, which is very good. It's good for the community. It's good for us at EMS. It helps us with really good outcomes. Other highlights that I wanted to bring out to you is that the EMT class that occurred on Shaw is completed. We had three students who will end up working with us here on San Juan Island who attended that class. They're still going through their clinicals, and they're going through with ride-alongs. I think you met Kim, who was over here from Orcas. She was here with us, and we've been doing that. They've been either riding with Orcas or riding with San Juan to kind of help build their skills and bring them up to speed. But they all passed their skills assessment through the class. They're all in the process of scheduling their national registry examination. And once that's done, it's a done deal. Also found out from our previous class that finished in May of this year, we had one more finally get his state license. It took a while, so we're pending two, I think. From that class of 10. We're still waiting for their state license approval. But so eventually we're looking at 13 new responders this year, so which is really, really great. I also wanted to update you on the CODAN radio project approval. I think most of you know that that's going to be on the ballot for the February 11th. Mm-hmm. Had our first meeting with the Seroptimists here on Friday Harbor. Today, talk to them. Rick Frazier, who's involved with the project, did a presentation. Sheriff Krebs and I were there to help answer questions. Of course, we can't say whether or not we support the measure. We can just answer factual questions. And we were able to do that for the Seroptimists. So the plan moving forward is they were interested in another session where they could ask more specific questions. We're going to try to get a hold of the Lions group. The Rotarians, and that's the one. Thank you. I knew there was one other. So
can we help in any way with that? Yeah. I don't know what the technicalities are of us throwing our weight behind an initiative. But
in an official capacity, I don't believe that you guys
cannot.
Can.
Okay.
No, just informationally.
Right, informational only. We're that same way, and we've shared with our membership that as an individual, you're more than welcome to say yes or no to say you support it or not. Answer questions by all means. Who to direct questions to if our membership feels uncomfortable. However, if you're on a call responding, representing the agency in any way, then you are limited from expressing your opinion in favor or not. You can only give facts.
Okay.
So they're all clear on that,
okay.
Which is great. So again, kind of under the crunch, but it's a sales tax, and property tax, and that was, that's the plan moving forward. And yeah, I'd be happy to give any sort of details that, that you want. Two different rates, one for 5 years to help pay for the initial outlay, the hardware costs, the building costs, and then the rate reduces after 5 years for maintenance and ongoing upgrades.
Tell me again what it takes, how much it goes up.
So it's
for the first 5 years.
2 cents on $10. Right, so it would cost an additional 2 cents to your tax on a $10 purchase, then that drops to half a cent for the remaining 5 years on that $10 purchase as an increase to the already existing sales tax. Right.
Cool. Those pennies people been saving.
Send them our way. Sounds good. The other thing that I just wanted to let you know is that the fire and EMS fire integration is still moving forward. We haven't had any official meeting throughout the month of December. I know we've still got, we're working on scheduling one for late January. We still have a few more days. If not, it'll be early February when we'll get together again. But we're moving forward on the directions that we had planned. Some of those questions are already being answered. We have petitions now, and Nathan and I have scheduled with Chief Collins a time just to look through and try to validate some signatures before we actually present those to the county auditor so that for official validation. But things look encouraging. It sounds like the Outer Islands that are already part of the hospital district are more than willing to become part of the fire district as well, which should make the integration process that much easier. They all seem, we've had very good response in our outreach that happened at the beginning of the summer and then again at the end of the summer. So now we're at that point where we move that forward. The town has scheduled their vote for April, the April election, where they will put the question of annexation forward to the residents of the town of Friday Harbor. The answer to that will tell us how we proceed forward. If the town annexes to the fire district, it's a much cleaner, easier kind of path. It doesn't, a no vote doesn't preclude us from still moving forward with integration. It's just it's a different pathway to try to figure out how that funding is gonna happen. So that's kind of where we are with that. That's really.
Of course you can, yes.
Yes, oh, please.
Yeah, I have a question, Chief Kutzing. So do you have the signatures, you think, for enough people on a certain number of Outer Islands?
We believe so. In order for the vote to be put to those Outer Island residents, all it requires are 15% of the registered voters.
Sure. Yeah.
We feel like we have that pretty easily. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, we get 60% of the registered voters, it precludes having to go out to the public to make that vote, and then it's just up to the fire commissioners to say yes or no whether they want those people into the district or not. The alternative is to also look at a petition that includes property owners, not necessarily registered voters. And if 60% of the property owners, and let me preface that, property ownership is weighted by land area.
Okay.
So, for example, an owner of a very large parcel has more weight than someone who has a small lot. But if you get 60% of the land area owners to say yes, that also triggers the election by the fire district to bring those people in. Did I get that right, Nathan?
You did.
Okay. So that's kind of where we are right now. Those are the two things we've started to talk a little more about operations. What's it look like now that fire has its BLS aid, which is a response only, not a transport license, how we can best serve the public by allocating resources, who goes on what calls. That is partly precluded by what's going on with the radio upgrade, how the dispatch center is going to interface with us, what kind of frequencies that we're going to be transmitting our radio communications on. Still a lot of moving pieces, but I think we're narrowing in on it. We've got a pretty good plan in place, and it's going to be a slow rollout to try to make sure that we start where we think is a good pathway and adjust as necessary. Try to make sure that we're doing the right thing and not rolling too many resources, not enough resources, getting them responding from the proper areas. So that's what we're looking at moving forward. As far as the special reports, There are some statistics that I included with that. There'll be the year-end summary, and I can talk about that next. There's statistics that were included with our community outreach, which includes not only the CPR first aid classes, but also the bike helmets that we give out and the car seats that we help provide. Just as a note, there's an upcoming car seat technician class, which sounds like, but it's a 4-day class.
But there are new state laws on car seats, right?
Very specific. Not only that, because it has to do
with the type and variety of car seats and the type and variety of cars that they're in. And so these car seat technicians have to go through quite a rigorous process. Right now, Laney's the only person in the county who's qualified as a certified car seat technician. What? Found some grant money to put on a class. And how many people do we have signed up for it, Laney?
Well, there are 7 signed up currently, where we have 3 possible more on our island. And we're hoping to get the other islands involved.
Somebody on Orcas, somebody on Lopez. But what we've asked all our administrative staff, so is Peggy participating?
Yes.
So Peggy and Heather administratively, and then all our staff EMTs will all go through the training. So to take some of that load off and make sure that we can take care of the people as they walk in. Because right now, most of them don't realize that they really should be scheduling something. Uh-huh. And when Lady's busy doing something else, oftentimes we're having to have people come back or call back, and this way we're hoping that we can take care of those folks. So that's that program's going on.
And Laney, what are the new regs? They surprised me what the weight and height requirements were now for car seats.
So unless you're 4'9" or taller, you will be in a booster seat. It didn't matter your age.
But that's like some adults that I have.
4'9".
If you're over 13 and in a front seat, seat belts are a little bit adjustable, but back seat belts are not adjustable. So they can't adjust for the height, so therefore you could actually decapitate someone.
In the back seat?
In a shoulder strap that goes across the neck. And if you put your shoulder over it or put it behind you, it does not work.
It's a common thing.
People do it all the time. They don't realize it doesn't.
I just hold right.
There are 10 kinds of seat belts.
There's
10 different kinds of seat belts in use today in cars now.
Okay.
Which explains the 4-day class. You know, which on an initial level you go, really?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you think about it and you go, really?
My grandpa used to wrap it around his leg so the buzzer wouldn't go off.
That's
buckle it?
Not very effective.
Okay, that's crazy.
Director Coons was able to present a report on our ongoing training and education program. OTEP is what we call it. It has, she included some statistics. You have that report. The other good thing that I'm not sure I managed to include or not was the letter of approval from the state for the ongoing. We've just got notification from the state of Washington for the next 3 years. These are planned out 3 years at a time. That's been approved, so our plan is solid. It's approved by the state in coordination with Dr. Corsa, the medical program director, so we're good to go. Weishan, is there anything else you wanted to add to that? Since you're here.
So the advanced life support part of the OTEP program hasn't been submitted. Dr. Corsa is working on it and is really close. And has been working with Katie Holstein at the state, so that will be a problem at all. And we also use for both ALS and BLS education, and you guys understand the difference between that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess.
So there are
ALS
questions.
ALS.
Basic life support.
I know one's
which
much
is
more
EMTs,
advanced.
And advanced life support, which is the paramedics and nurses. And so there's a difference in the level of training. We use King County EMS Online, which has this robust sort of didactic portion where the EMTs go in and do six different, well, EMTs and medics, they have both levels of education go in and do the didactic portion, so an online module, and then for our training, so we do training the second and the fourth Tuesday of every month, except in December, we're off for Christmas. And the training and education happens the second Tuesday, and then we have our medical program director that does run reviews on the fourth. And sometimes we'll have additional training after he's done with that. So we'll do those didactic modules that are great. King County puts together a great program, and then do the actual hands-on portion here. So basically we set up training so that all of our providers can, if they attend every training, they don't have any problem recertifying every year. And then we work with them and make stuff up if we need to. In addition to that, there are required things that the ALS providers need to have, so advanced cardiac life support and pediatric advanced life support. We also, our agency has always done neonatal resuscitation just because we see so few neonates that we want to be on top of that. Airlift Northwest actually does that training free of charge if we just pay like fair and fair and a hotel for them, so they're great. And the gal that does that is wonderful.
Is that Natalie?
She has done it before. She charges Rose, who works with Airlift, and focuses just on the neonatal resuscitation piece, comes up for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's one of our flight nurses.
She likes our agency and is like, I love to do it. So, yeah. So we have that scheduled, and then, yeah, there's just everything else is in here.
Thank you for this. I really appreciate it.
Excellent report.
Yeah, it's great. It's just nice to see what's going on and that things are timely and organized. It's really cool.
I also mentioned in the operations report. Thank you, Alicia. Also mentioned in the monthly report that I wanted to put together the CID civil investigative demand. I was unable to get to that. My apologies, but I can put that onto the next agenda to try to give you a better summary of what's been going on with that. Short version is there's no news.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we sent the letter.
Right. We saw the letter that the state attorneys general gave to us.
Uh-huh.
Our attorney Jim Fredman drafted the response. Mm-hmm. That's the last we've heard, and I think that response went out in mid-November, early November, something like that.
Oh, it moves slowly. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm still waiting. Right now, we're still in a holding pattern. So we'll see. I think probably as I prep for that summary for you guys, I'll get a hold of Jim Fredman again, who is our attorney representing us, and see if he's heard anything. He's very good about letting us know if he has. But it would be good to check in with him just to kind of see where we are with that. So I'll have that for you next month. Do you have any questions about the monthly report? Yes. Oh, you don't. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I do have the year-end summary as well. Again, we just kind of took a look at that. I provided you with a...
Are we going to amend that, though, with the 13th month?
It will be. So the financials will be.
Okay.
But as far as the other statistics that were included, they won't change.
So, I really wanted some time to look at the whole year,
In terms of finances?
Yeah, just because, the budget sort of dictates our values, right? So, and because it's not complete with the 13th month and all that, do you think we could, if everybody's okay with that, spend maybe some time looking at that next month?
Certainly.
And reviewing our full 2019 and talking about...
So you want to hold off on the whole thing?
If that's okay.
Because this is not...
It's not complete. It's not technically complete, right? I mean, the statistics are there.
Right.
But the finances aren't technically there. Is that okay with everyone, just in the interest of time tonight and all that? Or do you want to do statistics tonight and finances next month?
Do you mean a special meeting, Commissioner Lindstrom?
I don't know if we need a special meeting. Maybe we do.
We could
do it. Kyle doesn't want
it. I just don't know. I think we could probably cover it next time, unless
I feel like.
Unless you want. Can I ask a question? When do we approve the budgets?
So usually, November.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just thought as a tool with the new board to like go over and see what it means.
We do have, so generally it's a two-step process. We do the budget in November. Uh-huh. We then review it again and amend it, and that's generally August.
Anywhere between April and August.
Yeah, I think the last time we did it was August.
Yeah, you did it in August. I did mine in April.
Because Pam's just better at it.
It's great foresight, actually.
And part of that, the other thing that you guys all should be aware of in terms of budget is that the county passed approval on doing a biannual budget. Preparing two at a time. And as a junior taxing district, I checked with Mylene Henley, our auditor, and she said she doesn't see any reason why we couldn't do the same, which is something you as commissioners might want to consider. We pass a two-year budget, and what that means is yearly you would take a look at it and make sure that you're on track, but maybe 2 years at a time might be more palatable. I don't know. We spend a lot of time with budgets. So something to consider, and we'll talk about, we can talk about the finances, but just as far as the highlights for the year, I think there's nothing here that we didn't already know. It's just nice to have the validation. And I provided you with a bunch of graphics so that you can take a look at it and see where we are. Some of the interesting things, 75% of our calls resulted in the transport. Most of our transports went to Peace Island. That 66% of our calls involved a patient who was 55 or older.
You know, when I look at this, it looks like more. This looks like it's almost 75.
I did the numbers. So if you look if you look at the which one is it?
I tried to figure out the numbers myself.
Yeah, I at the bar chart.
900 out of 1200.
Let me see if I can find it because I'm marked on mine.
Oh, I did. Never mind.
You find it?
That's why. That's what it was.
Yeah. There's another one there.
Now, is that statistically similar to Off Island, or is that, are we?
I don't know.
A lot. That would be interesting.
Uh-oh, yeah. Pop quiz.
Yeah.
Oh,
pop quiz.
Well, you know the right answer.
We should have like a buzzer.
I'll find out.
Find out. Exactly.
Gail wants a buzzer.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we all know our population, you know, here on the island is, 51% is over the age of 51, so it kind of makes sense that the bulk of our patients are 60, or, are 55 or older. Our shoot times, which is the from time of page to wheels rolling, I think is pretty good considering that, in town we can, our policy is to roll with one. And that's pretty easy because we have full-time staffing. Outside of town, we want to wait to get another responder. It's better to have two people on the ambulance. So oftentimes we wait a little bit, but we still have that capability. If it's starting to get a little into the call and we say, and the medic's already gone en route, knows that we're going to need help, we can always say, well, should I roll with one? And we have that option. So our ability to get the ambulance moving has greatly increased with the new 24/7 staffing. So I feel pretty good about that. That's pretty much it. And I guess what I would like to do is give you guys plenty of time to take a look at that. And I'm more than happy to revisit this at our next meeting, whether it's a special meeting or a regular meeting. And I'll try to find answers about Off Island, about what their demographic is.
So I have one question.
Yes,
ma'am. Were there really 87 cases of appendicitis? Because that just scares me. Or was it just people that looked like they had appendicitis?
That acute appendicitis was 3. Abdominal pain was
87. Abdominal pain.
Abdominal pain was
85
or unknown. Oh, 85 or unknown.
There was no general impression, no primary impression.
Yes.
Right.
So
87 was abdominal pain, only 3 were acute appendicitis. Right. So this demographic, this particular report is based on the primary impression of the responder as they meet the patient, what the page was. Our biggest ones, I think, injury, and of course I wasn't able to break that out. That was, now of course I can't find my notes. Here it is. This is.
Is that 189 for injuries?
Yeah, so how many slips and falls is that?
That I don't know. I did not break that out because that question was asked as well, and I would like to find that out. And again, I'm exploring the software because I didn't want to get too far down into the TUIs and spend too much time on things.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah.
Number one was injury. Yeah. Okay. Number two was generalized weakness. Number three was abdominal pain. Hmm. Four was chest pain. Number five was there was no injury or illness that was noted. So,
kind of interesting.
And altered mental status was number six.
I gotta call 911. I'm constipated. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just.
I think be surprised.
That can really
or
hurt,
not.
Though.
No. I don't know.
So that's kind of what I have for you. And again, like I said, please take a look at these things. Ask questions. I will try to get those answers. So we want to know what the age demographic was off island. I'm going to write this down. And what was the other one that you were interested in?
Like injuries, like what's the
break down the injuries?
Because like you know, like what community paramedicine is going in there and saying like you need to move this throw rug and this extension cord, you're going to trip on
grab
it,
bar.
Right? And put up a grab bar in your bathroom and stuff like that. But yes,
can I audience participate?
So. Yes.
Go girl.
Before Lainey started the falls prevention program, falls were our biggest call.
They were.
And 18% of our calls on an annual basis, year after year after year, were for falls, specifically falls. And those could be a fall off a cliff or a ground level fall. But after the falls prevention program, and Lainey would go into people's homes and move, you know, add grab bars and move the rugs they were tripping on, our statistics went down to 11%. So, you know, pretty radical. Those are good statistics for us. Yeah, so that
we've
been really
happy
with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also, Lainey and I have been working and we're trying to get you some metrics on the community paramedicine program. Took into account some of the suggestions that I think Gail was that you suggested was looking at the number of patients, the calls that we were seeing, how often we'd see a patient who generated multiple calls. When they were enrolled in the program, and then how many calls we saw after they were enrolled in the program. And just starting to get my feet wet with that, I have a list of our 2019 top 10 or 15 patients. We've worked on identifying those that were part of, became enrolled in the community paramedicine program versus those that haven't, but I haven't really been able to kind of get you anything solid yet. But.
This might be useful in the future for any kind of funding.
Exactly.
Yeah. People asking for truly deep
details. Right. So we're hoping to generate that, and that'll become part of the yearly report, and give you guys that information that so we can keep moving forward. Absolutely. That's pretty much what I have.
Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Chief. Can I ask do you have a question?
No, please go ahead.
I've got a silly question. I was looking at the average response time charts. These are great, by the way.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of information here. And I couldn't see on each one which one it was referring to.
Yeah, and
once you open it, is it here?
It's not.
Okay, and is there a way to add a label on there?
So,
otherwise, I have no idea which one.
It was labeled on the attachment.
I know.
And so when I gave it to you, so if you want to go through the packet real quick,
No, I don't need that. I was just wondering, in the future, if we're going to get something like this, it'd be really helpful if once you open up the document, you can actually see what
it's actually on there. You know, on mine, I labeled it. What I could do next time is scan that, and so that way you can have it.
I should have done that. I'm sorry. I didn't think of it.
You know, my follow-up, of course, was can you collate them into one PDF so I don't have to click on a million different ones and then save them in a file, you know.
Possibly. Yes.
But then I lose which one it is.
That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
We should be able to. Anyway,
that doesn't work unless you can label it internally within the document, so you know once you're scrolling through it.
We can do that, but it would, you know, we just have to be.
I'm
sorry, I didn't think of it though.
Just when I clicked, I was clicking around, and I was like, which one is this?
Which one is it again? Yeah, no, I understand completely.
And there, you know, there were what? 10?
Five or six of them. Right. The one that really bothers me is the north end one, which is the average response time of 17 minutes and 17 seconds. There's that one outlier. percent, one big spike. And I went back and I looked at it. It happened February 16th.
Yeah.
In the snow.
Oh,
it was a terrible snow. Yeah. Power lines were down. I talked to Weishan about it. She was the one who was responding on it. We talked about that call. And what happened was is the down power lines came in one way, realized that didn't work, had to come around to get to the patient on another way, called the ambulance off because we knew that they would have to do the same thing, got the patient into the medic rig, and got them to the hospital. So that's my outlier. So we have a good excuse.
Well, the benefit though of this is that you really can see that there are maybe an outlier here.
Exactly. And so this is really good for me. This is the first time that I've been able to delve into this and find out what's that. So you can go to that outlier and go, what happened here? And you realize, well, that's a perfectly good explanation. That's, you know, that
so
makes sense.
Our fun.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we got. And maybe what we can do is in that packet, if you have the time and inclination. Well, you know what? Quickly, Nathan and I will send you a new PDF that explains what we're doing.
Really, don't worry about it for this one. If there were a simple way to do it in the future, that's all I was asking. That'd be great to do.
Okay.
I'm not here to make, you know, I can see it. I can work my way through it.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
It would just be easier. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we can work that out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.